Surprise, it's Thursday night, and we're live. 7 o'clock. Now, we're on the third and the difficult leg of the goal that I set a couple of weeks ago. 300 volunteers that will give 12 hours each week. And we're claiming the promise from Judges 7, chapter 7, verse 7. By the 300 will I save. I came to town 29 years ago claiming that promise. Didn't have as many people in the church as I have already committed. 133. That happens to be the same number as the 700 giving 3,000 by Christmas. That's kind of interesting. But I have 133. I said we'd go first in increments to 70, then to 120. And we're past 120. Now we're headed for the 300. Looks like it's not going to be as easy as I would like it. There's already been people checked out of the church because they feel uncomfortable not being part of the 300, and they're not willing to be part of the 300. You know, every church, we're not an ordinary church, but every church, even the 104 or 5 that voted me in 29 years ago, they had two services on Sunday. They had a Sunday school. They had a midweek prayer service. They had a Thursday night service. And they had a youth program going and a woman's program going, a men's program going. And there were people that participated in all those activities, but also went further. There was a deacon board that had meetings. I don't know what they did, considering the condition of the church. They had Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers participated in all those other activities. They had to prepare their lessons and follow up on their students and teach. It's not unusual to have churches within churches, some who make larger commitments than others. But the ripple effect through this congregation, because it's the first time I've done it, is sort of amusing to me. It's very amusing that people could listen for 29 years, most of the congregation from 10 to 20 years, and find it difficult to commit 12 hours. It's obvious that it somehow goes over their head that you deserve to be dead. It's obvious that all the preaching that I'm doing on these 5 or 6 verses, which are the key to Romans and the key to the Bible, is going right over their head. It's obvious I've got it in my church. What I grew up around and watched across this country in revival movement churches. The congregation that's in and okay, and they endure the service for those that aren't yet saved. I mean, there's the saved and the unsaved. You're no more saved today than a jackrabbit if you carried your cross for the last 20 years. And you laid it down this morning. Yesterday's faith is not worth the droppings out of a pigeon's wrong end. All the preaching, what some people call or wait for is their favorite message. Blessed is the man who passing through the valley of weeping, because they always got a new valley of weeping. You apparently haven't listened to the part the verb passing. It's a journey. You haven't listened to the teaching about growth. Leaving, therefore, the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto completion. You sure haven't listened to Luke 14. I'm telling you, I got an exact criteria. You have not forsaken all unless the end of Luke 14 has become your portion. You can't, the paradox is, you can't do the first part of Luke 14 to get the last part of Luke 14. But paradoxically, you can't be doing the first part of Luke 14 without the last part of Luke 14 being your portion. It's the same as the passage, he that saveth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake and the gospel shall gain it unto life eternal. Well, you can't lose your life to get that gain. You lose it for his sake in the gospel. And he that saveth his life shall lose it. It's a paradox. Paradox is hard to put in the English language. You go up by going down. You become first by being last. Again and again. Already said it, live by dying. No man, when Peter and others said, this is hard. He said, no man hath forsaken father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, houses, lands, but shall have not only in the life to come, but here also, many times those things. I'm living proof. Same message as when I came here. If you're going to be a Christian, be one. I've drawn a line. You're welcome in the cathedral. Frankly, I think you'll go to hell if you don't tithe. Just that blunt. There's no thieving robber of God that doesn't have enough faith to trust God's unqualified promise, prove me now herewith, and not got enough faith to make it in. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's been a long time since, in the cathedral, since we've borne down on giving. I preached one whole year, every Sunday, in King's House 1, on giving. Starting with the euphoria of the 15th chapter, the resurrection and our blessed hope, and then with hardly a pause, now, concerning the collection, as he opens the 16th chapter. I preached a whole year. I've been soft on the cathedral crowd. A little band with secret 15... and with all the major secrets since Secret 1, they get equal credit as though they did it all, but a recent tallying, about 30% of what the secret called for came in. I made up the rest from sale of lifetime, long, major stamp collections and other properties. It's okay. Those who did their best get the credit as though they did the whole job. But most of my congregation just has it handed to them. 24 hours a day, the expense of a worldwide network. And they can't even say thank you by becoming a voice of faith in the midnight hours. It's there like a local hospital or a fire station. When you need it, you can turn it on. A glorious cathedral. Other congregations in this city with anything close to it are weighted down with 2 and 3 decades of debt. I know one major church in the Los Angeles area. Pastors led them. God wanted them to get this. Went in $30 million in debt. And after the debt was in place and the church was up and the congregation had to pay the bill, he took off to a denominational post. You don't have any debt. Everything you do is a participation in a worldwide ministry. Fat cats for Jesus. Walk by displays of Bibles, any one of which could pay off that debt on that church. And 133 step up and say, "For the Lord who died for me, the same Lord who bowed and washed his disciples' feet, I'll give 12 hours." And out of this 133, we're already finding some reneging on their commitment. As if I have a responsibility to figure out the very same day that you make it, establish a staff pattern that can assign and fit the jigsaw puzzle together of 133 people who've committed 12 hours a week, most of which are packaged in an area of convenience. Not all, but most of which. You've got the duty to renew your commitment every day. I said at the outset, we're not going to chase you. You let us know what hours you're not available, and you give us name and phone number, and you make your commitment. Well, I want to serve the Lord my way and take all of the teaching that as my day, so shall my strength be, and a bruised reed shall he not break. And blessed is a man whose strength is in thee. He'll pass through his valley and from strength to strength. And the God of the forefront's in front of me. I like those messages, and those, particularly those messages on the names of God that I can claim. But I wanted in my little, me and mine and my little 2, 4, and 6, and you got 90% of it. And you can't say to God in gratitude for your blessing on my life and you saved me from death eternal. I'm going to put my body where my mouth is. I'm crucified with Christ. And 12 hours a week is going to match what he did on Calvary. Quit mouthing Christianity and start doing it. Oh, you know, you've been yelling at us for 29 years. When are you going to die so we can get a pastor that won't do it? You ain't going to get another pastor. You're lucky. I would have spent everything, shut the church down just before I died from a hospital bed. And God gave me Melissa and put the same burning heart in her toward God and this ministry. So you already got your next pastor, and I'm training her to be just as tough as me. So go find yourself a big old tit head of a pastor that you can suck on all day long. Twist his nipples right off of the top of his head. Bathe in the milk of his BS. I want 300 people that mean it when they say, "I'm crucified with Christ." Now get on the telephone. And you folks that are across the nation had better express yourself in commitments and tithes and offerings. You can work 12 hours a week and pay off. Depending on, within all those across the nation, the price they could command with overtime and extra work, you could give 12 hours a week and pay off your $10,000 by Christmas or your $3,000 by Christmas. So nobody has any excuses out there. Well, how come I haven't got the last part of Luke 14? Because you haven't done the first part of Luke 14. And I suggest, before it's too late, you get started. And don't suggest that because, you can start play-acting and doing it, I'll try this and see. God sees the heart. When you're crucified with Christ, you're willing to wait for eternity to give you your rewards. And when God, who sees the inside, not the outside of you, really sees that, I'm giving my all in these commitments just as Jesus did. And I'll trust you to raise me from the dead. When he sees that, he'll then, just as he raised Jesus, do what he's promised to do in time, not after death. When he sees the heart that is pure and without calculation, doing it because you put yourself in the blood of Christ, he'll do what he said in Luke 14, the second half. You ain't going to find very many people that will forsake all. I suggest some of you start baby steps toward it tonight, so get on the telephone. Now, the mystery man and woman feeding those ducks and geese was me and my wife. The cameraman couldn't figure that out. There's some interesting places around Los Angeles. We had a good time on one of our bike ride days, stopping and feeding the birds. Man, they fight over that. All you have to do is watch them a while to figure out that animals are conceived in sin, that self-centeredness is an animal trait. And Christians are looking more and more animalistic every year. Go on the telephone. You know, one of my heroes was George Mueller. I want to talk about him in the next half hour. But right now, I'm concerned that you're not calling. Even if the folks in Los Angeles don't call because they luxuriate in a no-pressure hour. They don't need to tune in to the festival because they can wait until 10 o'clock. And it's a no-pressure hour on their station. And they hear a beautiful song, and I teach, and then there's a song. This is pressure time. And there's only two positions you're in. You know the commitment's not too much. And you get yourself straightened out and you make it. Or you rationalize your inability and you don't want to have to hear about it because you feel guilty. See, that's what commitments and commitment lines cause. As long as the pastor strokes you and the priest does the ritual and preaches messages to make you feel good, I'm okay. But now it's time to step out there and pick up your cross and do or die. You belong to the Lord on your terms or his terms. Well, you and him work it out with 90% of your life. I, in God's name, am laying a claim on a tithe of your life, your money and your time. That you don't like. I know that. There weren't many of those 5,000 and 4,000 hanging around when Jesus gave the speech of Luke 14. In fact, he had to say to his own disciples, well, will ye also go? Now, I don't want a bunch of onlookers during this time. If you're not for me, you're against me. So don't give me all your messages about how wonderful the teaching is and this and that. If you aren't willing to make a commitment, and when we have a battle line drawn like this, I expect every king's house across Canada, the United States, and the world that's hearing me right now to get on the telephone and say, I'm with you. Quit sitting there like a stump. Get on the telephone. Set your camera down on the floor. John. When they're ready to have a festival out there, I'll be back.
Yes, sir.
Put it on this chair. I don't want any sound, and you shortwave people better figure out you got one job. You be the sound. And you just give the phone number. You want to know why the chair is empty? Call this number. I'm not going to sit here as your monkey on a stick. I may be able to sift 120 out of this 133 and not let anybody in the congregation. I'm not upset that you haven't got the gonads to be one of the 133. I'm upset that you're not calling and putting faith and encouragement in this room. So up yours. Look at this chair for a while.
Yes,
sir. I don't like to do this. And we got a call from one of the shortwave stations. The operator probably wasn't listening. That doesn't surprise me. But I want all the stations to understand that I own the time, which means I can go silent if I want to go, and it's their duty to fill the time by just giving their call letters. It ain't going to be 24 hours. Shortwave, pardon me, but each individual station is a very small part of this network. And I can take the 40, 50, 60, 70, 80,000... spending upon the time, put it somewhere else. Now, the stations we own, you better understand, if you want a job, you figure out how to give call letters or phone number when I go silent. If I'm buying the time, give me a reason to stop buying it. There's operators on duty. Just fill the time with your call letters. Or tell them if they want to know why we're silent, call this number and give our number. In no time we're going to be 24 hours like this. I don't like to stop what I was doing today to come and do a live festival and get the kind of treatment that my audience has given me. There are enough people that have a KU band to fill these lines, these phone lines, the first few minutes when I was here. I'm not on trial, and I don't need this. I'm not in a popularity contest. I'm not hunting for money. I got a lot more than you're able to give me. God has blessed me with Luke 14. And you're a bunch of dumb, rebellious sheep that need a shepherd that will keep you in line. And you better get off of your lazy rump and get on the phone when I'm sitting here. Or you're going to get this same treatment again. Now get on the telephone. We've already been on the phone. Well, get on it again. I'm still not satisfied with you. 33 minutes ago, more than that, I said I was going to talk about George Mueller. We were at a stage in the church where the whole network is being affected by me having to look through the prism of a Los Angeles congregation that has settled on their lease and left their first love. I hope some of you read the Times today. I don't necessarily approve of the methodology and everything that's going on. But there was a long article about Christian missionaries moving into Iraq right now and the dangers that attending a Christian church in Iraq entail. I'm sure you saw a missionary that was killed and their car was machine gunned down. It talks of the number of missionaries that have been killed since the war because Saddam allowed no Christian missionaries, even though there was Christian communities, and his equivalent of the Secretary of State was a Maronite Christian. But Baptists, Assemblies of God, evangelical Christians, missionary activity have moved in, opening churches. It takes more than 12 hours commitment. They go to church at risk of their life. And some of you fat cat Ephesian Christians think you're going to march in on the bloodstained path and are not responding to your pastor who's given 30 years. I get letters from parents that say they raised their kids under my ministry. Well, now, I have a simple question to ask you. Did those kids that have been raised under my ministry and are now gone, did they take more than 12 hours out of your life every week? So, what has filled the vacuum? Coddling grandkids? If you raise your kids right, they can raise those grandkids. I'm amazed. In this 30 years, when so many of my friends have died and I've outlived my enemies, that there are not more people that have retired in this congregation and decided you'll be like your pastor. You're not going to stop working. Sitting in that congregation are people that are retired, out smelling flowers and doodling around and driving their motorhome and think the Lord will take you when He comes. You've come to the kingdom for this hour. Don't expect this pastor to coddle you to hell in your last hours. You've run the race well. Why'd you quit? Not once in the last 10 years. And many people have worked 20 years and retired. Not once in the last 10 years have I had someone say, I retired. I remember when I first came here, a woman took an early retirement from Standard Oil in San Francisco and moved down here to volunteer full-time secretarial services. I'm putting out more now than I did when I came here. I'm 74, in case you've forgotten, getting ready for my 75-mile bike ride this August. You're stumbling around in your pains and your moans and your groans, your gout, your kidney problems, and your load of blubber, and expect God to coddle you into the kingdom. My Bible tells me the more mature the saint, the tougher the test. And the cross came at the end of Christ's ministry. His retirement was the resurrection to eternity. Now you better wake up. 30 years has made me less tolerable. Now you better get on the telephone. All right, no more calls now. You've responded. I expect like attendance roll call in an Army boot camp. Yes, sir. Sit down, everybody. I expect all of you across the nation to understand that when I sit down here and say it's live, unless I say stay off the phone or immediately start teaching, at the first music, I expect you to check in. That's roll call time. I am not your puppet on a stick that likes to see my face on television . You will show appreciation when I come in here to teach, or you'll get an empty chair, or something equally obnoxious. Well, I don't have to watch. Then get the hell to another channel. Go pawn your shortwave off. Not enough time left in this world to mess around with Galilean mobs. We just want loaves and fishes. George Mueller surveyed the world. I used to sit in his office in Bristol. He was long dead, but the orphanage, without Mueller, they sold the orphanages. They just have one little orphan house and an office. Kind of like that skeleton ghost $30 million auditorium sitting vacant over in Pasadena that the old man in the Worldwide Church of God, when he's gone, his successors can't fill it. So it just sits empty while they try to sell it and keep themselves going. Why, I said, are anybody going to sit around here and live off the assets of this ministry? I'll either outlive all of you and be like John, live till he comes, or my wife will take it on with those that will follow her in keeping this ministry going around the world. A local church is not necessary. It may come as news to you folks here in Los Angeles. The majority of support comes from people that don't come here. We have a voice of faith here tonight, come all the way from Glen Carbon, Illinois. Now Glen, is it Glen Carbon? All the way from Glen Carbon, Illinois. Don't need a local church. And if the local church will not repay the 30 years of faithfulness by being like Aaron and Hur, holding up our arms with enough volunteers that this ministry doesn't have to function with paid hirelings, I don't want a local church. I crossed that Rubicon. I'm not your little puppet on a string. I'll be a servant of all of you for Christ's sake, but I can't be a servant of any of you modifying for Christ's sake. He died for you. And I'd look at those orphan houses. They now house the Educational Bureau. Great giant high-rises surrounding Bristol, England, built in response to the faith of George Mueller, designed by Sir Christopher Wren, the most famous architect of British history. Now I go inside, they'd open the safe and let me read his own handwritten journals. He would move around as a preacher and try to get people to make a commitment, just as I do. Now, I can't become a Christian because I'm working at a job that I'd have to quit because, you know, tradition bound, in those days, one of our most faithful king's houses is a bartender down in the Caribbean. Between him and God, not me and what I get from him in terms of messages of encouragement and faithfulness goes far beyond a lot of the locals here. But they'd say, I can't be a Christian. I can't make it what I'm doing. The other one, I can't go to church. I mean, I'm working two jobs and I'm barely making as it is. And I'm this and I'm that. As old as Jesus' call. Well, I have to bury my father. I bought a piece of land. I have to go examine it. Bought a yoke of oxen. I have to go try them. Married a wife. Now that's one. I have to go check her out. And he said, if I, a poor man, never going to man and only going to God, can support orphans, maybe it will be a testimony that God is alive today and honors faith. He supported 2,000 orphans, built those great orphan houses, and was the major contributor to Hudson Taylor's Greater China Ministry. I'm confronting the same thing. You talk faith and you don't do faith. There is no merit, nothing for God accomplished if there's 133 people. Reluctantly, I'll give the 12 hours. That's what bothers me when I see some already reneging on their commitment. These 133 need to be like the Macedonian Christians, begging, with much begging, to be included. You think you're perfect? I want to ask in this room here, any one of you want to stand and tell me that you think that you are perfect and without sin? Anybody want to do it?
No, sir.
You may have been a Christian. You may have responded to my teaching. And you may be trying in every way you can to live with faith in the blood and faith and amening the promises of God. Anybody in this room want to stand and say, right now, at least for the last couple hours, you're without sin? Anybody want to do it?
No, sir.
Okay, then what's your covering? Because you ain't got none. James Boyce preached a sermon on Adam and Eve when God found them after they sinned. And he titled the sermon, Fig Leaves or Skins? The point he made, they could not stand in God's presence without a covering. and no covering they made or they provided with their own efforts would work. Only His covering opened the door to fellowship with God, and His covering required a death to get it. And by His grace, the animal died instead of them. Now, fig leaves may be prettier than the skin from a freshly killed animal. But I'm tired of a congregation standing and applauding hypocritically because I have said I tolerate the applause, because I take it to mean an applause for the message and for the truth and how you value it. And what hypocrisy. If you have somehow transposed the message to anything other than the next breath you take, and the breathing you were doing before you heard this message, is made possible because He died. And He died to claim you. There has never been a revival in the history of the church that didn't start with people. If you're in New England, they hung onto the pews with fear as God anointed the message of Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You are walking around and you ought to be dead. And you want to quibble over 10% of your time in the joint activities without which God's work cannot get done. While He's promised to bless you, He gives you no other blessing. How many of you have been sick this winter? Let me see your hands. You had a cold, you had the flu, you had the sniffles, you had a stomach ache. How many? Hold your hands up. How many of you had a sick hour or a sick day this winter? Come on, hold your hands up since last summer. Well, you didn't have a sick day this whole year? None? No sniffles? Well, that's what I said, then you had sniffles. You didn't have a sick day or sniffles this whole winter? Not a one. Didn't get up with a headache? Oh, those, yeah. Didn't have indigestion? No? Something close. Yeah, only partially pregnant. You can put your hands down. God's purposes and plans are very clear in His Word. He gave a promise to Abraham. Those Israelites didn't deserve deliverance. All they did was quarrel and accuse and complain at the sufferings put on the Egyptians to free them from bondage on God's calendar because He had made a promise to Abraham. he did it all, God and Moses. Out of Egypt, and as soon as they're out, to come to the Red Sea, the merman again. Across the Red Sea, dancing a jig, then 3 days into the desert, God said he drove them there to find what was in their heart, to prove them. They kept God on trial. Just like most of you. No water. God gave them water. It was bitter. Wasn't enough to satisfy their thirst. They just said, tastes good. They could live with bitter water. Just couldn't enjoy it as much. So God sweetened the water. The type of Christ, the tree that was fell. Led them to Rephidim. Not a place of rest, so God had Moses strike the rock and water flows. But then God decided, enough already. The Amalekites with one mission, annihilate them. Moses couldn't keep them from being annihilated. Unless his arms were up in the air. Joshua couldn't win the battle in the valley, and neither could the people, unless Moses' arms were in the air. Moses couldn't keep his arms in the air unless Aaron and Hur went up the hill and held him up. God was saying, I ain't going to do it all for you. I'm not going to feed you and diaper you and do everything. You come to a point where I am going to have this church of the Old Testament function as a unit together. You're going to take some responsibility. A child can figure out what God's saying. I've been saying it for 30 years. There's some things God can't and won't do by himself or with one person. There are things he's restricted himself he won't do unless there's an asking voice. There are things that can't be accomplished and the manifestation of God that will not happen unless two or more. He didn't say, I'll build a self-centered bunch of idiots like a bunch of yo-yos on a string. I will build my church. Out called ones. I don't like it. I was at my best for years. Me and God. My parents had to ask the mission board where I was. My wife wouldn't go with me, so I provided her home and said, stay there then. All over this world. Facing down witch doctors in northern Luzon and shouting mob in Sabalimov near the China Sea. Weirdos in Calcutta and Pune and Bombay. Slums of Manila and slums of Rio. Tar paper shack churches. Every island, major island in the Philippines. Alone on ferry boats, I'd tie my shoes around my neck, keep them from being stolen. On jungle hopping DC-3s where the stewardess would tell you, check your weapons when you got on. Sword carrying cult of Manalo, people glaring at you. Dropped out in the middle of a rice paddy in southern Sabalam with a bunch of Moros that think they get an elevator to heaven to kill a Christian looking at me stand alone in the middle of that rice paddy as the plane took off. I was happy, me and God. Didn't have to depend on a weaker link in the chain. And God lassoed me 29 years ago and I hated it. And from November to February, I resisted it, and my terms let me still live in San Francisco. I don't want to come down here. And I didn't want to be on television. Everybody convinced me Jim Baker was the one to do it, so let him do it. Oh, he could bring it out. I didn't want to be on television. Made a public agreement in front of the world. He had all the computers, all the staff, send all the money to Charlotte, and he would keep 25% for his ministry there, having raised the money in telethons, which I hate. And he'd send 75% here. The church was on the edge of bankruptcy. I had enough money. Westcott Christian Center, my dad's parent church, and the parent church of my minister had enough money. I carried Faith Center for the 3 months. No money came from Charlotte. I called and said, where's the 75%? I don't have it. I've got cash flow problems. Maybe cash flow problems. Not your cash. That's trust money. 75% belongs here. People send in their tithes and offerings. It was forward to Charlotte. We told them that publicly. I said, well, I'll give you 30 days. You send the money or I'll break the contract the same way we made it in front of the people. So he didn't send it. He said, it'll hurt you more than it'll hurt me. I said, well, truth is truth. So I alienated the whole church world because he was the darling then. And on TV, very first program, The Way It Is at Faith, that I did. Fired him. Oh, yeah. Alienated the church world, that's for sure. And started the Festival of Faith. And been telling it the way it is at Faith ever since. You've never been surprised with any news in the newspaper. Now, I'm sick of it being a one-way love affair. Just sick of it. You're not responding to the needs of the moment. I didn't make the choice to come to Faith Center, and I said I prayed until February. I remember in February when I finally said, yes, Lord. Now, I'm not going to spend the rest of my days holding this ministry back worldwide with a congregation that will not step forward and hold my arms up the way Aaron and Hur did with Moses. And I don't want them running up the hill. Okay, let's go. We got to do it. Do I expect everybody to become part of the 300? No. Any more than everybody attained under the first three with David. Just lock the camera down, John, and go on out in the hall. No. The 30 years should have produced 300 people that'll say, I'm going with Pastor. I can do this as willingly as Christ went to the cross. And you that are out of state, that have to look at an empty chair and be wrapped verbally on your knuckles before you will check in when I say we're live. I mean, I had a problem with people calling. There were no voices of faith here. Now I got voices of faith here and nobody's calling. Now wake up. This is not a tea party. It's war. Now get on the telephone. Now here's a caller. Philippian band. And everybody that's a Philippian band member in Los Angeles should be, if you really meant business with that Philippian band commitment, should be leading the parade of the 300 giving 12 hours. Yes, But here, this Philippian band member 55 from Altadena says, I'd like to volunteer time this Saturday from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. However, pastor wants to use me, his phone number. Okay. That's 15 hours, isn't it? 8 to 12 is 4, and 11 p.m. is 15 hours. We'll take it. But I keep saying to you, I'm looking for a permanent commitment, 12 hours a week. Oh, that scares me. Well, your sweat hasn't turned to blood yet. And the cross was facing Jesus. Well, I'm not sure I can check out the message on Gideon. I can't. I'm not able. You need to tell me. What are you doing? Just volunteering this Saturday? Well, I'm not sure I can ever do it again. Well, turn in your Philippian band number. Well, I never. You don't appreciate the 15 hours? Sure I do. But make it clear. Are you going to be one of the 300 and give... I'd rather have 12 hours every week than the 15 hours on Saturday. Well, can't we negotiate? We just did. Now, call me back and tell me, is this a one-time commitment? Or are you willing to commit 12 hours every week? And then you'd be number 3134. Or have you already made that commitment? And now you're expanding it to 15 hours on Saturday. Come on, talk plain with me. I don't have to go back and go through 133 names to see if you're already on the list. I'm sitting here with live television, expensive time around the world. I'm renewing my commitment like it's a great effort for you to give your name again. Get on my page. Now, Philippian band 55, you're supposed to be like the Macedonians. So are you already one of the 300 and you neglected to tell me? If you did, then tell me now. Are you not willing to be one of the 300? Don't give me your excuses. Stay up all night once a week. Revivals used to have people praying all night, round the clock. You've all gone soft. Either turn in your Philippian band number. I'm not going to give us 15 hours now. Well, okay. Make a fool of yourself before God. Or get on the side with your pastor and tell me, are you in the band already and this is extra time? Or are you only given a one-time commitment and you're not in the band? You can still come to the cathedral, but you can't be a Philippian band member. And any Philippian band members in Los Angeles won't give this 12 hours because it's a lie. You're claiming something you are not. And that's hypocrisy. So I suggest Philippian band 55 now to Dean and get on the phone and straighten me out on what it is you're trying to say here. Get on the telephone. You know, here from Fairfield, California, King's House. I can't be one of the 300 because I live too far away, but 12 hours equals so much money that he earns in 12 hours on his job above tithes, so I'll send that each week. You know what I'd rather have than the money? You know, it's supposed to be 16 hours, 16.8. I allow the people in Los Angeles 4.8 hours to cover you coming to the cathedral on Sunday. Now, I make the drive, so I know you can get to Fairfield in 8 hours. You can get back in 8 hours. That's 16. I'd rather have you come to the cathedral twice a month than send the money. Get down here twice a month to the cathedral. You might be catching, you'll decide to come 3 times. Ain't that bad? Not that bad a drive. It's only 7 hours to San Francisco. You can get to Fairfield faster than that if you go up 5 and take 560 or 580, whatever it is, and zip on up to Fairfield, or 680, whatever it is. That's my territory. I know that area. I can get there in 8 hours. With no trouble. He's come to the cathedral twice a month. I'd rather have that than the double tithe or the 12 hours worth of your per hour pay. Then you can answer phones on Sunday and get on back up there in time to be wide awake when you get to work. Probably get somebody else that attends the service at the Berkeley University Cathedral in the Sunset Mausoleum that help you drive. Fill your car and bring up some of these San Francisco people. We're about to expand our time in San Francisco. I want committed people, and I'm still hooked on 133. Not one person has responded this whole time. I haven't seen Secret 16 go up this whole time. I need 99 more reservations for the cathedral. So you're not done working. Get on the telephone. You're going to start that song over when I say this. Altadena, this is a dumb sheep. I'd rather die than give up my Philippian band number. Well, that's a true Philippian band. Yes, sir. I'm one of the 300. This commitment means more to me than my marriage or anything else. Well, whoever's married to this person's lucky. In Fairfield, I'm already coming once a month. I'll up it just two times a month. What's the matter with you? You're only coming once a month, and you were willing to pay the money equivalent of... What's the matter with you? You up it to three times a month. Now get on the telephone.